Welcome to the Christmas edition, Christmas joy special
the world.
Of Between the Matters. We wanted to give you a very special Merry Christmassy, Christmas specially Between the Matters. That's episode. Right. As you listen to Chris pop his Bang energy drink.
Right.
So, Christmas, it's a fun time. Spend with family.
It's overrated.
a little overrated. I have this problem. Every time Christmas comes around, I seem to go in debt.
Yeah, right?
I need to change that.
Josh Bice tweeted about that today.
Oh, did he? I haven't been on Twitter at all.
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's get this kind of moving with some Christmas questions.
Okay.
For you guys. Where do you guys kind of fall? All right. So, what is the best gift you've ever gotten?
Oh, man. Oh, Josh, go first.
Oh, the best gift I've ever gotten?
Best gift.
Holy smokes. Okay, I'm going to do two.
Okay.
Because I can't, it's hard for me to pick one. Mm-hmm. So for one, for all my redneck brothers and sisters out there, I got my grandfather's 300 Winchester Magnum. He went
nice.
He went bear hunting with it. He went bear hunting with it in Alaska. And what's nice about it is that it's a bolt action and it's a left-handed bolt action because I shoot left-handed. So it's like perfectly made for me. Like I'm the only one in my family that could use this because I'm the only one that shoots left-handed. Nice. So that was one that was just amazing. Second, I think it was even before we got married, my wife bought me the entire commentary set of from MacArthur.
Whoa.
And I loved it and it was amazing. It was the best gift I've ever gotten in my life. And I remember getting that and just thinking like, yeah, I was pretty sure. I was like very sure I didn't deserve you. Now I'm above sure. There's reserve in how much sure I am. Yeah. It was awesome.
Nice. That's great. What do you got, Chris?
I would have to say, all right, so I'm gonna go back in time to when I got a Game Boy.
Oh yeah, man.
Like I will never forget that. That was one of those gifts like that you ask for, but you don't really expect. And, you know, cause the way we grew up, we didn't grow up and, didn't have a lot of money usually. And so that was a big deal. That was a very, very big deal. And then I'm going to fast forward to this year and I know what I'm getting from my wife. And I've asked her multiple times if I can start using it and then give it back to her like Christmas Eve to wrap is Herman Bavinck's The Wonderful Works of God, which is now out of print with Westminster. So other than our son was born in February, so can't say our son, but yeah. But I would have to say those are probably those are up there. I'm sure there are more that I can't think of. But what about you, man?
Nice. There's so much. I mean, obviously if my son is born either tomorrow or Christmas, you know, obviously that would be a great gift. But we don't know. Maybe he might be born, but that's a gift yet to come.
That's
I mean, I remember getting my first PlayStation, man.
Oh yeah.
And it was the PlayStation 1, but what was different was it had a chip in it. It had a special chip in it where it could play burned games. So my uncle would burn games for me and then he'd send them to me.
Oh, that's
and I'd
cool.
be able to play them.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
So one gift that I got, I think I got it last year. Because I like different unique things as well, like thinking outside the box. And my wife got me, because I love pirate stuff. My wife got me these things that are just little messages in a bottle. They're like little glass bottles, and they've got rolled up pieces of paper in them with cork and a string to pull and stuff. And then you just pop it, write a little message and leave it. And stuff. Like, it's really neat. So I was like, that is probably one of the coolest gifts I've ever gotten.
That's cool.
That's legit.
That's legit right there.
Oh yeah. Do you guys like eggnog or no eggnog?
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah. I can do some eggnog.
Yep. Yeah. My dude, some good Christmas memories are with, sitting with my grandfather and him pouring me some eggnog.
Yeah.
That is good stuff.
Yes.
That is good stuff.
Yes. Oh, yeah. All right. Christmas movie. What's your go-to Christmas movie? Like, if they're listening to this right now and they're like, oh, my gosh, well, I don't know what to watch. Let's listen to what Matter of Theology would listen to on or watch on Christmas. What would it be?
Gosh.
Let's go. And you can't say Die Hard. You can't say Die Hard.
Oh.
I'm going to say, again, I can't just pick one. I'd say for me, the one that we always watch is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That is a staple. Usually it's after we watch that Thanksgiving night. Mm-hmm. And so after dinner, after our son's in bed and, we're watching that and laughing and trying not to wake him up. I won't mention two, cause just in case you guys mentioned the second one. So we'll come back around.
Okay. I think, you know, so I grew up with all kind of the traditional ones. It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, all those old ones, all the old claymation ones, right? Like Rudolph, Red-Nosed Reindeer, yep. All that stuff. So something that I'm really kind of starting to get into, like making movies, Christmas movies that maybe aren't. So Iron Man 3.
Yes, yes, it's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie. Man 3 is a Christmas movie, and we try to watch Iron Man 3 every Christmas just because it takes place during Christmas and there's snow and it's wonderful. It's great.
Just because it takes place during Christmas doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
Yes, false. It does. That is false. You are outnumbered. You are outnumbered.
False. Oh my goodness.
Not true, Drew.
Because Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Iron Man 3, Lethal Weapon. But even
Bruce Willis said it was not.
I don't care. It doesn't matter what Bruce Willis says.
Yeah.
It and Lethal Weapon, by the way. The first Lethal Weapon happens at Christmas.
Lethal Weapon.
That is also a Christmas movie. Now, I will say, just from the content of those two, Die Hard and Lethal Weapon. Yeah. Be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh,
language.
Language.
Yeah. So that's why I'm gonna bring it G. And go The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Oh, yes. Dude, Snow Miser and Heat Miser. I've actually never seen that.
Whoa.
Oh, dude, it's if you're going to watch any of the old claymation ones.
Were you even a child?
Like what in
the world? No.
The Year Without a Santa Claus is the one to watch. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Year Without a Santa Claus.
With a full beard. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I came out of the womb just like that.
All right. Let's see.
Well, you can't not mention Elf though either.
Yeah,
see, that was my second one. That was
I never got into Elf.
That's my wife's favorite movie, like of all time.
It is
like
so
not
good.
Just Christmas movie, but just favorite movie of all time.
It's so good. Now
that and Scrooged. I love Scrooged.
Scrooged was good.
With Bill Murray.
Now, do any of your wives watch like the Hallmark Channel during Christmas time?
Thankfully, no. Well. It's so bad.
It's the same
as yours. I'm sorry, Chris. Yes. Chris, I feel for you right now, man. I'm so sorry. Oh, that hurts.
You know, and there are some of them that have good actors, and the storyline is good. I mean, even though it's predictable,
it's the same storyline as the other 600 movies.
I mean, there are a few actors and actresses that are actually really good, and it's not like uberly cheesy. But what we've started doing now, and is just watching them make fun of them. I'll be like, here comes the plot twist.
I can, I can, like, give me 5 minutes into a Hallmark movie, I will tell you the entire plot.
Yes, exactly.
Entire plot. It's always either a dude or a girl who are disenfranchised with Christmas, or a big businessman, or they're down on their luck, or they just got back from war, and then they come into the nice small town with a Christmas tree farm. There's always a Christmas tree farm and a quaint little coffee shop. They meet in the coffee shop. They end up liking each other, but then there's something about the person that they don't like, so they end up breaking away. Then they have this big come together. Yes, we love each other. Something really, really bad happens, and then it's resolved by the end when the snow starts to fall and Santa may or may not be real.
And can't we...
There you go. Merry Christmas. Go watch Iron Man 3.
Well, what's interesting, you know what bugs the crap out of me? And I love Christmas music. I'm a musician. I'm a worship leader. Like, I love Christmas songs. But if I hear one more like hook of a Christmas song as a turnaround for scenes or as it drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. That's where I'm like, oh gosh, just
see the church I was in before, we started playing Christmas music like at the beginning of November, and we played them throughout the entirety of the month, all the way until even after Christmas. And I hate, like, every week it was Christmas songs, the same Christmas songs. And I wanted to jump out of a window, and it made me hate Christmas songs. And I'm still recovering. So I'm slowly recovering.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
You know, speaking of Christmas songs, I'm actually, and it might have just been where I grew up because we were like 10 years behind everything where I grew up. But where do you guys land on the song Christmas Shoes?
Never heard it.
So I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. Right?
Okay.
I love that song.
New song.
Unironically, I love that song. My wife absolutely despises it. I start singing it, and I hear her from the other side of the room. Stop singing the song.
So when the first time I heard it, I was like, okay, I was misty. I was a little misty.
Yeah, and it gets you.
It does get you, man. You start thinking about it, and you're just like, but then, I don't know, after the 100th time, I'm just kind of like, okay, yep, we get it. It's sad. It's people, you know, people in the world are hurting and poor and need things. I mean, we understand that, but thanks for depressing me.
Oh, but why is it depressing? Like, he gets to get his mom the shoes, and then she goes home to Jesus, you know, looking really good, because that's apparently what we're supposed to do. Don't look at the theology of the song. It's just, it hits you right in the heartstrings.
I can't not. I don't have those eyes anymore.
Oh, no. Come back to us, Chris. You have been hardened by your theology.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, where do you guys stand on people saying Happy Holidays or Xmas? Or where do you guys stand on that?
So here's the thing. I don't care. You know why? Because holiday is holy day.
Yes.
Still Christian. And Xmas, the X.
Cross.
Is the cross. No, it's Christ. Christ.
It's Christ.
It's Christ.
That's right. It's Christ.
Right. Because it's the sign for Christ in what? Greek? In Greek, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So either way, they're saying Christmas. And I just smile and be like, thank you, you too.
That's right. Yeah. So for those of you listening that don't know, that get all up in arms when people are like, it's not Xmas, it's Christmas. Well, one thing that you need to know is that Christ or Christos in Greek is spelled with an X. It begins with an X. Yes. And it was shortened to just that numeral of X. So when people say Xmas, it's not that they're taking Christ out of Christmas. They're just shortening it. It's an abbreviation.
Which really, if you want to get technical, he was not born in December.
Well, there is. Did you listen to that, Eric Erickson? Where he was talking about that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Am I about to be enlightened?
So there is some speculation that he was born in the spring.
Right.
But there is also some work, I believe Roger Beckwith has done some work in this, where he traced back the priests of the temple to Zechariah, and he would have known when he was in the temple, when Elizabeth got pregnant, which would have resulted in knowing around the time that Mary was pregnant, and then mapping out 9 months of pregnancy. And what he came up with, what he deduced it to, was between December 25th and I think January 5th, which is where you also get the 12 days of Christmas. Yeah.
Nice.
So there's a whole history with that and research to do. I don't want to go, you know, I'll let Roger Beckwith do all the research. That's what he does. So I'll just read what he puts out.
There you go.
I like it.
So what family things do you guys do for Christmas or leading up to Christmas?
Well, just yesterday, we see my wife and her family are Polish. So usually a couple days every year before Christmas, they get together and let the glory of the Polish food cooking onslaught begin. And so yesterday was pierogi day. And so all afternoon yesterday, we were over at my in-law's house. And that's what they were doing. And fellas, let me tell you, those things are phenomenal.
Sounds good.
So, oh yes, they're very good. And then today, they were doing what's called guamki, and getting everything ready for the feast that will take place on Christmas.
There you go.
So that's a big tradition. And then, and what we do with our son is, you know, we don't do the elf on the shelf thing. That thing just, you know. I mean, if you have to rely on a magic imaginary elf to have your kids behave, then that's not okay. But we do just like a little thing. Noah loves Olaf, but he's never seen Frozen. He just loves Olaf. He's a cute, funny little snowman. And so Olaf appears in different places throughout the house with little notes reminding Noah to do certain things or listen or reminding him of scripture. And so we're trying to redeem that a little bit while keeping the joy of the season going. So those are just a few things.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's see. So my family's pretty Norwegian, so there would always be kind of the standard Norwegian.
You guys get together and beat a Scot.
Yeah, oh, dude. No, it was the Irish. Yeah, we called our Irish neighbors over there and beat them like a redheaded stepchild. Yeah, no, it was,
they probably are redheaded.
They probably are redheaded. You might need to take that out.
What happens anyway, between the matters stays between the matters.
Yeah, that's right. Let's keep it's it just, right it's between just
us three. I mean, no one else is listening, you know.
It's true. No one's gonna listen to this. Come on, who am I joking? So we would have lefse. So if anybody doesn't know what lefse is, it's a very thin, potatoy type of bread that you fry in a pan, and then you spread soft melted butter over it with some cinnamon sugar, and then you roll it up. And it's
that sounds heavenly.
It is delicious. So that's lefse. And then there's the krumkaga. Krumkaga is a kind of very thin, kind of waffly pastry type pastry that you roll into basically what looks like kind of an ice cream cone. And then you fill it with like whipped cream, or you fill it with fruit or something like that. And it's just, it's really, really good. But then you've got the other side of the Norwegian stuff where it's like pickled herring and like really bad fish, lutefisk, that stuff's of the devil. That's so bad. And then that's about it. They would have Norwegian meatballs, which is basically Swedish meatballs that we didn't want to give to the Swedes, so we just called them Norwegian. Because that's how we roll. Trying to think. Yeah, I think that's just we would usually do Christmas Eve and then Christmas morning stockings and presents. At least growing up, this year for the first time, it's really cool, for the first time since my wife and I have been married, just because of family stuff and craziness, like Christmas morning, it's just going to be us. Oh, it's really cool, nice. I've never experienced that before. So we might hate it. I don't know. I think we'll like it, but looking forward to Christmas morning.
Yeah.
If we get a Marco Polo from Josh saying, "Bah humbug," we know it didn't go.
Yeah, well. That's right. This sucks. Nobody should do this.
So we do things like different things at in-laws or friends where we'll do like a dinner and then like kind of like the white Christmas elephant or white elephant gift exchange type deal. We'll do that. Got one we're doing tomorrow. And I had a great idea for a white elephant gift.
Okay.
But Brandy right. won't go along with me on it.
Is it what an is actual it? White elephant?
No, but
I did get one here, by the way, Josh, for a church staff Christmas party. I totally got a really? Porcelain white elephant. Yes.
Nice. Well done. Well done.
But my idea was, because usually it's like some gag gift or it's stuff no one really wants or is really going to use, right?
Right, right.
So you end up with a lot of coffee cups or like tumblers and things like that and
mm-hmm.
just odds and ends stuff. Well, my idea was we go to Walmart, we print out a picture of the two of us, and then we put it in a picture frame, a little cheap picture frame. And then it's someone gets it, right? And then, surprise, you get a picture of us. That's a great gift.
So but why? Hold on. Is it really?
Yeah, I have questions.
Yeah. So yeah. This is what makes it really funny. Because, you know, on White Elephant, people can steal gifts. Yeah. Well, whoever gets that gift, no one's going to steal it from them because no one's going to really want it.
That's you will never be invited back. You realize that, right? Point. Oh, that's the point. Oh, well, that's the point. Then brilliant.
Yeah,
here's what I would say do. Here's what I would say do is just print out a picture. Like, and here's where my mind went. You said we print out a picture of ourselves and then we go to Walmart. So I'm like, hey, print out the picture of yourself, go to Walmart, put it in a picture frame and leave it at Walmart. And then that way, whoever buys it
yes.
gets you guys.
Just don't do it awesome. To all of them. Print out like 50 pictures and just put them in all the frames.
Walmart lets you walk by. What are you guys doing?
Like, who is this couple? Like, why?
we're making your picture frames look better.
That's right. That's right. You won't even want to put your own pictures in there. We look so good.
But this is what we want to do. So, because usually what would happen on my wife's side is everyone would gather at my father-in-law's dad's place. And we would do that and have dinner and stuff like that. Well, last year, Brandy and I went to church, Christmas Eve service instead. And so, my father-in-law's dad recently passed away. And he was kind of the glue that kind of held that together. Like, he was the reason people went over and did that. So I told Brandy, I said, well, now that we're having our son and stuff, you know, now let's start making kind of our own tradition of what we do. And that's going to include things like, and I just kind of threw things out there, things that I wanted it to include, which, you know, she liked, but of course she can throw some things out there as well. But like, definitely Christmas Eve service, gathering with the local body, to worship, but then coming home and as a family kind of going through the Christmas story personally, and then, you know, maybe singing some hymns as a family, doing things like that. Because I told her, I said, how cool would it be when we're old, we go to our kids' house and they do that tradition and we're participating in them leading it.
That's,
you know, cool, that'd be great. So
that's very cool.
Oh man. What, or I mean, of course, you know, my heritage is German, so I can always talk about, teach my kids about Krampus.
Oh yes. Krampus.
You better be good. You better be good or Krampus is going to come snatch they you made up a, and eat you.
They made a Krampus movie. You guys could they always watch that on Christmas. Yep. Yeah.
Ah, that's true. Or we could do The Office. Broomschnickel.
Yes, that's right. Hide into your beds.
We'll see when they get old enough, though. You can tell your kids about the true story of St. Nicholas.
That's right.
Yeah. Heretics in the face.
That's right. So there is a meme I want to print out, and I want it to be one of our regular Christmas decorations around the house, where it's a picture of Saint Nick, but it says, "I came here to deliver presents and punch heretics, and I'm all out of presents."
That's right, baby.
That's what I want. So what else you got? Christmas related for the Christmas special? What would you want the listeners to know about Christmas?
Mary knew.
Can't stand that song.
Mary knew. Read Luke 1.
Oh, you got me off. You got me off guard on that one. That was good. In case you're confused,
like I was. He's talking about the song "Mary."
Did you know? Yes, she did. Stop singing the song.
That is the worst song I've ever heard.
Come on, Mark Lowry. What's wrong with your theology, buddy?
Some of my favorite Christian artists cover it too. I'm like, read your Bible.
I know.
Lost him with that. Bring us the book.
That's right. That's good. So, did you guys? Or Chris, do you talk to Noah about Santa, or do you kind of leave a little bit of the innocence of Santa, or do you just tell him?
We do, and we went back and forth on that, and obviously that's hotly and highly debated.
Right.
You know, we make it very, very, very much about Jesus, and him being the perfect gift, the gift that we all need. But don't deserve, there's some mystery in there about Santa, so it's kind of a twofold thing, leaving it in there, but really explaining the true meaning of Christmas, but at the same time, we don't want, because Noah's a talker. Mm-hmm. You guys, my son has been talking since before he was one. And sometimes the words that come out of his mouth is just, I'm just like, buddy, you're only three. But mm-hmm. It's amazing. So, but he would be the type
of... he's reading Jonathan Edwards already.
George Whitfield, just George Whitfield. We also don't want him going around telling all little kids, hey, guess what? Santa's not real. It's kind of a twofold thing. We left it in there.
Yeah, we've talked about that. We're still not sure about how we're going to approach that. We've already started just saying, we're gonna giving each other gifts. We're gonna give each other less gifts, but we're gonna try to teach our son that Christmas isn't about gifts.
Right.
Right. So yeah. we're only going to do like three gifts a piece, but we're going to allow the grandparents to just
splurge.
Yeah, just let them spend all the money for the toys and stuff. We're going to allow that. But about Santa Claus, we haven't drawn a hard line yet to say this is what we're going to do, this is what we're not going to do.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there'll be people listening that are just like, what? You talk so strongly against Bethel, but you let your son believe in Santa Claus. You hypocrite.
Yeah. Do you let your kids make believe about pretending to be stuff?
Last I checked, Santa Claus isn't claiming to raise people from the dead. Okay. Chill out. That's my message to people about Christmas. Chill out.
Relax.
Just chillax. Enjoy the season. Don't get all up in arms about, oh, Christmas trees are evil or Christmas is paganism. Like, I just, those conversations, I just see myself to the door. Like, it's just, come on, seriously. Guys, just chill out. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy time with your family. Enjoy time with your church. Like, just have a good time. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. Us Reformed people feel guilty when we're having a good time.
Right.
We just do, right? Because our theology, we need to be feeling bad all the time because of how bad we are. Well, yeah, you're bad, but Jesus is really good. Jesus is really good, and we can can have joy with that, right?
That's right.
So everyone, just chill out, drink some eggnog, watch Iron Man 3.
Okay, back to the eggnog. How often do you guys put rum in your eggnog?
Why is the rum always gone?
Why is the rum gone?
Wait, Drew does it best. You got to do it, man. You got to do your Jack Sparrow.
Why is the rum gone?
Yeah, that's not bad. That's good.
What's even better is when he's dressed up as Jack Sparrow.
When he's dressed up as him. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm actually like as Reformed Baptist as I am, I don't really drink alcohol. Mm. I've got this weird thing where like if I try, and I've tried, it literally burns my chest. Like I'm wondering if I'm allergic.
Well, it's really weird. Burn? Because it's depending
like,
on what you're drinking,
like,
it's
like burning to. In the bosom, like I'm turning Mormon kind of burn. Like it's like,
so it's a Holy Spirit fire.
Is that what, yes, what I feel
call
like.
Bill Johnson. Call Bill Johnson.
I'm either like about to speak in tongues or I'm about to die. One of the two.
Well, what are you drinking?
I don't know. I don't even know.
I mean, some hard whiskeys can give you that, but that's how you know they're good. But you've got to sip it. You can't
if
just
it hurts,
like
it's good.
That's right. You got to sip it. You can't just down it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So all that to say, I've never tried rum in eggnog.
Okay,
but
I've never done it either.
So. I hear that's the way to have it. But I don't know. I always just drink it out of the carton.
Yeah, right on. Ditto.
Yep.
Like ditto. It.
So, dude, we've made it to 30 minutes. I think this was a pretty successful episode.
Well, if I could end, being as it is a matter of theology.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Got it. Here it is, man. He's got to make our not serious show serious right now.
You're gonna do this again, Chris?
Gosh,
I am gonna do it again. Chris. I'm sorry. Well, it's this is one of my favorite Christmas. Oh, we didn't talk about this favorite Christmas song. We did talk about.
You know, I have it on my notes. I just
didn't. We did talk about Mary Knew, and we did talk about Christmas Shoes. But what's your favorite Christmas song?
Okay, so I have two, one contemporary, one old.
Okay.
Contemporary, I think I talked about it. I don't know if I talked about it with you or the other podcast I'm on. I forget. I mix up podcasts. It's weird. There's an artist out there called Brian Duncan, and older people will kind of remember him. He was in the 80s and 90s, and he put out a Christmas album called Christmas is Jesus. And there's a song on that album that's Oh Come to My Heart, Lord Jesus, / Away in the Manger, or the other way around. And it brings me to tears every time. The note, like you guys, listeners, when you're done here, you guys, my co-host, when you're done, go listen to Brian Duncan, Away in the Manger / Oh Come to My Heart, Lord Jesus.
Okay.
It's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal. So that's the contemporary one. The old one is, I forget the name of it. Noel. Noel, 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 Noel. Yeah, so good.
Nice.
There's a couple that I really like. One is O Holy Night.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I really like it is because of last Christmas when we played it for Christmas Eve, Chris, and I was playing it on electric.
Yeah.
And I actually, on the final Fall on Your Knees, I actually played that melody along with the lyrics. Whoever was singing that song, I forgot who was singing it, but they were singing it, and I was playing along with them as they were singing it, and it was just a lot of fun.
You nailed
that
it.
Was good. That dude, and that was the first time I broke out my Les Paul too.
I know, I remember.
So O Holy Night. I also love this song on the Shane and Shane album, Worship Initiative Christmas EP. So
the new
go
one?
Get that. Yeah. It's O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
That's when it gets to that.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's really funny is I think it's like when they're singing that song, there's several parts I want to go on my drum because they do a little drummer boy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that fits in there.
Yeah, that's a great version of that song too, by the way.
Yeah.
So for me, I have a few. O Holy Night being the first one, and the reason for that is just the theology. The theology that's in the song is carried by a melody, and the doxology that you find in it It's haunting, yet encouraging, and it showcases what our response should be. A fall on your knees, here, you know. I mean, just absolutely. And every time I hear it, honestly, pretty much regardless of who does it. I mean, obviously, you know, don't go to extremes there, but. You know, my favorite version, I have a couple, just the classic Bing Crosby version, but Chris Tomlin.
Really digging that Mannheim Steamroller version, are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Chris Tomlin, his first Christmas record that he did, as far as a worship setting with a band, I mean, it's the best arrangement that's out there. And then contemporary is going to have to be actually based on what I was going to read. It's called My Soul Magnifies the Lord. I introduced it last year at church, and written out of Mary's response to the favor, the grace shown upon her. I was listening to Joel Beakey talk about that a couple weeks ago. But those are a few. And then, speaking of the Shanes and their Christmas records are incredible. Any kind of classic Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, is probably close second behind O Holy Night. So, but yeah. So, well, I just wanted to wrap it up with that out of Luke chapter 1. I know we were jesting about Mary knew, but her response, the Magnificat, is found in Luke chapter 1, is absolutely awesome to read. And if you haven't read it at all this Christmas season and you're listening to this, I hope and pray that you open up your Bibles and read through this. So I was just going to read a little bit of it. And then remind us of her situation. Start in verse 46, in response to the foretelling of Jesus's birth and visiting Elizabeth. And I've been reading John Calvin's sermons from Luke this month. And he does obviously an excellent job, John Calvin, of unpacking this. But she says this. She says, and Mary said, verse 46, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bond slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." So, I mean, that's just three short verses. But as a reminder, she was a pregnant, unwed teenager who Holy Spirit appears to her and just drops this on her, that she is pregnant, with a child. His name is Jesus. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High God. And just back up in verse 32, and the Lord God will give him, the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And, you know, Mary's like, how can that be? I'm a virgin. And wow. Right. And that's her response. My soul exalts in the Lord. My spirit is rejoiced in God, my Savior. So Christmas can be a hard time for a lot of people. So if this is you this year, whatever the circumstances are, I just pray that the Lord would encourage you through that, and that you would find a way to extol him and exalt him, for the favor that he has shown through Christ. So that was all I had. That's all I had to say.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to thank you for tuning in to this Christmas special of Between the Matters. We hope it was fun and educational for you. We hope that you got great presents. We hope that you spent great time with your family, cherishing every moment. We hope that we have been a blessing to you.
And we hope that you watched Iron Man 3.
And Josh hopes that you watched Iron Man 3.
It's a good Christmas movie.
It is a good Christmas movie. Yeah. Is it heart? Is it the?
But we are going to head out of here and do our own Christmas thing with our own families.
Time to do it. I just finished work. I've just finished my reports, writing them all up. I'm in full Christmas mode now.
There you go. See, Josh is ready.
Need to get my Santa suit.
That's right. All right. So from us at Matter of Theology, we want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Let your hearts delight.
Yeah, I'm not singing. I'm just going to say bye.
Dude, I'm going to write a Christmas rap. Hold on.
Do it. Do it.
Yes.
I better hit stop.
Oh, yeah. No, we stopped that way a long time ago.